I now present an act that no other performer has ever dared to execute. In fairness, I must warn those with weak constitutions to leave the theater for this performance. Likes? Thank you. Some appropriate music, maestro? Thank you. First, I drink a generous portion of gasoline. Then, some nitroglycerine. A goodly amount of gunpowder. Some uranium-238. Shake well. Strike an ordinary match. Girls, you'd better hold on to your boyfriends. Swallow the match. So.
That's terrific, Daffy. They loved it. They want more.
I know. But I can only do it once.
It's hard to remember how it felt before. Now I found the love of my life. Passes things get more comfortable. Everything is going right. And after all the obstacles, it's good to see you now with someone else. And it's such a
welcome to Just Gal in the City, end of April edition, going into the month of May and the summer. And how are you doing? Beautiful day in New York City. I've been having trouble recording this podcast today. I am not happy. I'm very depressed. And quite frankly, it's probably not the best day to record the podcast. But because we, even though we had one last week, I'll take a break, I guess, at the end of May or something. I didn't want to take a break again. It's just one of, I don't know. Last week, you know, it's funny, we had the 1982 in film because I just didn't have time for my mother's birthday and everything. And what I realized is I did skip 1981. I thought for some reason I started at 1981. I looked it up and I went from 1980 to 1982, so I owe you at some point, if I ever go anywhere else again, 1981. So, yeah, I'm really down today. I found out that I won't be teaching next semester, and I'm upset about it. Maybe it'll be good in a way because it's been keeping me so busy, but in that sense, that's also been good too because I have time to think about a lot of other stuff that gets me down. But nobody signed up for the class, which is really depressing. You know, two classes, and I'm down about it because I like it. I found out yesterday before class and was kind of just in a pretty bad mood when I got to class, and I was really taking it out on the kids. Like anybody, I'm saying not taking it out, but like anybody that just didn't have their assignment ready or something, I really just let them have it in front of the class because I just had it, you know. And these damn kids, I don't know how you don't do the assignment. I mean, why even come to class if you know that you don't have it and it's a day when we're reading everybody's scripts? So, I don't know. I was obviously in a bad mood. I found out just before class, like I was explaining to my mentor guy, that I had a really tough time getting into the school this week. The traffic in Manhattan, I parked my car on the street, and so then I had to come. This is why it's not so horrible to keep my car on the west side, because it totally took me at least an hour just to get out of the city because I'm all the way on the east side, and there's something, I don't know if it's the stupid Palestinian shit or just Trump, it's got all the cops all over and making it really difficult to move around. So whatever it was, it just took a really long time to get out, and I was really frustrated. And he's like, well, the good news is you're not going to have to do that next semester. He was trying to make it funny, but I think he knew I was pretty upset about it. Now, who wouldn't be? You know, you take it kind of personally, like, geez, nobody signed up for my class. He's like, this, it's like comedy. You know, you just don't know who's, one day you're going to have a full house and one day you're just not. You don't know why it is. And he said that's just the way it is sometimes. I'm really bummed about it. It's been bothering me all day. Like I said, I just found it out yesterday. So I'm kind of upset about it. And I was like, it's not a good day to record a podcast, but I didn't know what other day I can do it. And I wanted to tell you about it. I haven't really talked to anybody about it. Last night I went over to my friend Evan's house with Glenn, and Glenn's going through a bad time too. So we didn't go out for dinner. We just went over to Evan's house, you know, had a couple of beers, and Evan bought some food, and just, it wasn't a horrible time. It was a good time, but two of us are just going through a bad time. Quite frankly, I think he's going through a worse time, and that's Glenn I'm talking about, because due to the fucking actor's strike, you know, the kind of stuff they don't tell you when you're when they're striking, like, oh, hey, great job, everybody, on the strike. We all got what we wanted. Well, what you don't realize is, you fucking two-faced pricks, is that it affected a lot of other people as it trickled down, and a lot of people are still feeling the repercussions, you fucking pricks. So thanks to your greediness, some of my friends are having some difficulties. And that just obviously makes me mad too. Because it's bad when it happens to me, but it's worse when it happens to really nice people you like a lot too. So he's probably going through a worse time, and I have to look at it that way. And obviously there's lots of more worse things going on in the world. But you know, it's like, you know, it's weird. It's like, of course, my car all of a sudden is not starting at all. Like, it is starting still, but now it's like, usually when I'd start it, it would work the whole day. Now I let it go. I leave the car for a couple of hours after driving it all the way to the city or my mom's or something, and it's not starting. So it's draining it even further. Of course, that happened now that I'm going to have like less money and all that kind of stuff. So it's that kind of thing that's bothersome. You know, it all just kind of compiles, and you just think of all the stuff that's mounting, and it's just, you know, it's just a bad day, and everybody has them. It's just unfortunate that on this particular day, I have to record a podcast, which usually I'm lively and ready to go, but I know we've had other podcasts where I just kind of share my feelings with you, because the honesty of the podcast is the only good thing about the podcast, is that, you know, you got to tell it like it is. And maybe it's also a form of therapy for me, as I've often mentioned, just talking about it with you guys, knowing that there is people out there listening, and a lot of people with a lot of worse problems, obviously. So, you know, I'm sad today. Maybe I'll be better tomorrow. I don't know. I actually wish class was over. I wish there wasn't another week of class, because now I don't even want to go there anymore. I get upset about it. Boy, I really do enjoy it a lot. You know, I get excited about Thursdays and going to class. And you know how excited I get about it. I mean, everybody knows. Even the students get it. They knew there was something different about yesterday. I think they can tell. They're not, you know, they're stupid, but they're not that stupid. They're perceptive kids. And, you know, something was off yesterday. Anyway, we had 2 weeks off because I had stuff to do. I had to take off work for Rhoda's birthday. I just don't feel like talking about it. I don't know. Maybe I just, you know, tomorrow night, I'll tell you this, it's really messed up. I promised this dentist, who's also a comedian, who buys us dinner sometimes, and he's a very nice guy. I promised him I'd see his show. Not a comedy show. He wrote, I guess, a musical about him growing up, and I guess his dad owned a strip club in Utah or something like that, something ridiculous. And after he bought us dinner the other night, I'm like, oh, I'll definitely go see that show. He's like, oh, it's the end of April. And I marked it on my calendar, and I was ready to see it, and I thought it was a play. It's nothing like, and I So I said to my friend Chris Murphy, I go, so are we going Saturday? He goes, yeah, yep, it's all set. Saturday night, we got two tickets for 9:30. I'm like, 9:30? Old man just out, 9:30 on a Saturday, what? For me, that's at this point in my life and what I do, it's not because of the lateness. It's more like I work until 4 o'clock, and then what am I supposed to do for 5 hours? You know, now that I try not to, first of all, I wouldn't drink before a show anyway, but I was like, no, I'm not going. What kind of play starts at 9:30? You know, years ago, Off-Broadway used to have a 7 and 10 o'clock show. Off-Broadway, any show that was Off-Broadway had a 7 and a 10. And I remember because Eric Bogosian stopped the show once and said, okay, this is what we call the 10 o'clock Saturday night show, because the audience was out of it. You know, because you've either been drinking since 7 or you're sleeping. And he could tell, like, the audience was, like, a mess. 10 o'clock for a play, you know, like, for a one-man dramatic show is ridiculous. They don't do that anymore. I don't know what their schedule is Off-Broadway now. It probably is the same as regular Broadway, which is usually just Saturday or Sunday, 2 and 7 or 2 and 8 with 3 and 8, whatever it is. But yeah, I was thinking about that. I'm like, geez, I used to do this all the time, but I hated it. I don't know. I guess I went to a lot of 10 o'clock Saturday night shows. I'm telling you, that's when the city was, that's what it was for. That you could see an off-Broadway show at 10 o'clock at night. Because the city that never sleeps, never slept. And now it does. And now I guess between COVID and my age, I don't want to just go out at 9 o'clock at night. But this show, as it turns out, when I found out it's at 54 below, then I surmised, I'm like, wait a minute, this isn't a play then. I had to tell my friend Chris, he doesn't understand how the theater works. This isn't a play. This must be just like a review. It must be the songs and people talking, because I've been to 54 below before. It's a nice club and it's kind of in my neighborhood. So I said, all right, I'll go, because they do have good food there. I like the vibe there, 54 Below. My sister wants to do her birthday party there where we're going to sing some songs. So I guess I'll figure out how we booked it and how much it cost. So I guess in that sense, my sister will be happy that I'm going. But, you know, what am I going to do from 4 o'clock until 9:30? I don't know. Sleep, I guess. So that's what I got to do tomorrow, and for some reason, that's pissing me off for no reason. I don't know. I guess I don't know. I guess there's just, I knew I had the summer off, and I was so excited about it, but I didn't know I was going to be off until January. And, you know, there's also extra income that comes with that, too, and that's what's bothering me a little. And, of course, you know, I went down to get the mail today, which I normally never do, and, you know, open a letter. It says you're being sued by, like, Citibank or something, and it all piles on. Everybody has a day like this. I actually went to this is how depressed I was. I went to the diner. I was like, well, instead of Jimbo's, I went to the diner. I'm like, I'll just sit, and I'll, you know, do the puzzles from the paper I purchased yesterday or whatever, and just have the Eggs Benedict that I like and some crispy bacon. Because, you know, when I go to work, I get crappy bacon. So actually, we'll pay the extra for crispy bacon. There's nothing better than crispy bacon. Even though it's Passover, so please don't tell my mother. I went down there, you know, I had a couple cups of coffee. And, you know, normally, on a normal Friday or whatever when I do that, I usually come back, I'm in a very good mood, had lots of coffee, I'm ready to do the podcast, I'm ready to talk on the phone, I'm ready to get my day going. And today I could just tell it just wasn't happening. I went back to bed, or I watched TV, and then I went back to bed, and I'm like, this is a strange Friday. But I know it's out of depression. I still wanted to do the podcast because, you know, we got 2 weeks of stuff to tell you, and then I'm looking at the stuff. I'm like, oh, this stuff isn't as funny anymore now. You know, when you look at it this way, I'm like, now it's not as amusing as I thought it was. But I'll start anyway, and I'll tell you about two Saturdays ago, before my mother's. I went to see Book of Mormon because my friend Dave had his son in the play. So I went with our friend Teethy, and we went to go to I've seen the show before, and to see his son in the play, which was very exciting. He was the lead. He's playing the Andrew Reynolds part, which Andrew Reynolds, you know, it's hard shoes to fill, and he couldn't fill them. Mostly, you know, this guy, my friend Dave, and we like him a lot, but we realize he's a little dull. And it's funny because we met him, and me and my friend Chris Murphy, I'm talking about, we met him in like 1987. He used to run the Improv. And then all the years, he moved to Cleveland and ran the Improv there, so I mean, stayed there and had a family and a kid, this kid, obviously. And when we would come back to town, we'd have dinner with him, and then me and Chris would be like, God, I forgot. I don't remember him being so boring. He's a little dull. He's the sweetest guy, but he's a little dull, and he doesn't seem to understand comedy, which is kind of funny because he's running the Improv, and he teaches a comedy course, but every time when you're joking with him, he doesn't get it. So it's kind of funny, but really he is a delight, but, you know, he's just a little... every time we see him, Chris and I always go, it's so funny, we forget. Like, he's not a lot of fun. And unfortunately, his kid is the exact same way. It looks just like him, so you can recognize him incredibly. He's very handsome. He's got a very good singing voice. But he was really dull, and he had no kind of personality. Now, that's kind of perfect for a Mormon in a way, but Andrew Reynolds has a lot of personality. So when you've seen the original with Josh Gad and Andrew Reynolds, it was a definite co-starring role. But with this, it was definitely the guy who plays the Josh Gad character in Book of Mormon was the star and the pro. And you could tell the other one was the understudy. Not that it matters because it's not celebrity, so nobody really cares. It's not like the guy didn't do a good job. He's just not personable, so you were just focusing on the other character. He's a little dull. Just like his dad. It's so funny. And his singing voice was good, but it's so funny. Chris Murphy, who never sees shows, says, I thought there was something wrong with his microphone because he just wasn't singing out. Like, it's hard to explain, but I'm glad Chris noticed it too. We just weren't... Andrew Reynolds belts like Ethel Merman. Heavenly Father, where will I go on my mission?
Heavenly Father, where will I go on my mission? China or old Mexico on my mission. It could be San Fran by the bay, Australia where they say g'day, but I pray I'm sent to my favorite place, Orlando.
And this guy just wasn't bringing it. So it kind of ruined the show for me. I'm so glad I saw it with the original cast. You know, because it was one of those things where he wasn't bad. Probably no one else noticed in the theater except me, just like what happened with Dear Evan Hansen, where the replacements for Ben Platt are so goddamn gay. And I'm looking around. I'm like, no one notices that this guy can't act straight. You know, that argument again. But his voice was pretty enough, and you can see why he would get a show, but and his good looks and his height and all that kind of stuff. He definitely looks like a Mormon or whatever he's supposed to look like in that play. And then we were able to go backstage, which was super fun, go through the back door and go on the stage. There's nothing better than going back, meeting some of the cast on a Broadway show where it's just, it turns out, you know, at the end, it's just a regular theater. But I mean, come on. It's exciting when you're on the stage. You're looking out like, wow, I'm on Broadway. I know it sounds like that, but wow, I'm on Broadway. I'm looking out. It's still pretty cool. And that's another thing. I hope Teefy appreciated that, you know. That's not normal to know somebody in a Broadway show. So that was kind of fun. And then we went to that place. We were looking to get something to eat. We went to that place, Joe Allen's, that I used to go to. I don't know. We had the steak. We bought the steak. She thought it was good because, you know, she doesn't ever have proper steak. I didn't like it. I was pretty upset about it. And then, you know, she's like, well, I should get going. It was like 11. And I'm like, well, you got to go now? Because I still wanted to hang up. But then I realized, yeah, she's got to take like two trains and a bus home. And I'm like, oh, good for her. You know what? That's pretty cool that she travels all that way and she doesn't really complain. She didn't keep looking at her watch and see if she was only looking because she had to take the train. And stuff like that. And I'm telling you, that's better than half of the girls I go out with that are twice her age. So good for her. But it was a pleasant evening, I suppose, you know. And then it's so funny. Sunday, just I was so angry. I forgot that Billy Joel show was on, and I think Marcy started texting me about it. I'm like, oh my God, I totally forgot. So I turned it on in the middle, and I'm like, I don't even know whether I want to watch it. I don't know why. But then, of course, I was getting into it. I was really getting into it. There was commercial breaks and stuff, so I'm like, all right. I think I was mad that I didn't start it from the beginning and then I forgot. Because it's so funny because I was watching the Masters, and I'm sure you've all heard what happened.
Well, as many of you know, a network programming timing error cut Billy Joel's concert at Madison Square Garden short last night. CBS now saying, quote, "We apologize to Mr. Joel, his fans, our affiliated stations, and our audience whose viewing experience was interrupted during the last song." That concert will now be rebroadcast on Friday at 9:00. You can watch it right here on WPRI 12.
I was watching the Masters and there was nobody interesting that was winning, so I just kind of turned it off. And normally I keep it on and watch who wins the Masters, so I would definitely be reminded about the Billy Joel show. Of course, there's not a lot of commercials in the Masters, so I just forgot about it. And obviously you've heard, and it pisses me off to my core what happened. I'm sitting there. Now, you know how most of you know how I feel about Piano Man. I can't stomach it one more time listening to it. But when it's live, it's different. When you're there, I enjoy hearing it because it really gets the crowd going and it's so iconic. So he's playing it and it's part of the show where he's playing it and I'm really getting into it. I'm like, I am enjoying this rendition or whatever, watching it live, knowing, you know, Mike and Marcy are there, like Mike from the Tuesday show and Marcy are there, like that I had friends there. I was enjoying that part of it so much, and then exactly at 11:30 they cut to the news, the local news, and everybody was furious. Thank God everyone was furious. Everyone was furious, but the repercussions weren't enough. Like, I hate CBS so much for doing that. I'm so angry about it. I wish there was something else I could do. I wish I could get the people on the local news fired. Like, it bothered me that much. Not that even it was just Billy Joel. It's just the whole thing just cutting to your stupid local news that no one gives two shits about. No one needs the news anymore at a certain time when you can get your news anywhere 24 hours a day. So to cut from the show, and then they said, oh, it was a timing issue. Is this? I mean, the way they explained it, it's like no one watches network television anymore. So now you've fucked over the couple of old people that still watch network television and you've screwed them. And it sucks because I still watch stupid CBS and I really want to boycott it. But what's that going to do? It's really pissing me off. I really wish there was something I could do about it. I just wish there was some way I could hurt CBS. It bothered me so much. And of course, it reminded me of the Heidi game from 1968 or something with the Jets and the Raiders. And I was so happy everybody else was reminded of that too. That was NBC. But that's what they learned from. They were like, they're not going to cut away from the football game to put on a show. So after 50 years and then you fuck it up again, and you're just promoting the hell out of it all because the Masters went long where you don't expect the Masters to go long. It was just so pathetic. And the way they did it, like, not get, you know, at least with a football game, they give you so much advance notice. Like, look, we have to cut away. They do this on the Red Zone channel all the time. We have to cut away at 10 to 8 because that's when NBC has full NFL privileges. They at least give you notice. Oh, I don't even want to talk about it. It pissed me off. So it's like all this stuff. I was just like, then I was like depressed today. So I'm like, do I want to bring up that Billy Joel thing again? I just had to because it bothered me for like 3 days. And I know like on Tuesday when I got home, we recorded two shows for the Tuesday show. And that was a lot of work. And then Wednesday, my friend, I was just trying to put together stuff for Thursday's class. And my friend Joe came over. And then we went to Jimbo's at night. which I hadn't done before. And I think I had the best hamburger I'd ever had. It was just a regular cheeseburger, but it was fantastic. And like Joe said, it really melted in your mouth. It was something else. It was really good. I was pretty happy about it, actually. That's why I was thinking about going there today, but I'm like, I don't want a hamburger for breakfast. I know I had that Texas burger before with the egg on it, but I'm like, no. No, that's just too much. I don't know. And those chairs, you know, if they just had backs on them, it would be better. It's just an old-fashioned stool. Stool. And I think I had an orange soda. Boy, that was a good meal. But anyway, Thursday came around, and I had the big day where I got to teach at Rhoda's, and then I got to go to class, right? But this time, I had to stop at Rona's. Not Rhoda's, Rona's. And just the way I'm mad at the CBS, I'm mad at this place, Rona's. It's a dress shop that my mother buys clothing from. And apparently they were supposed to sew on a button or something and do some alterations, and they didn't have it ready when my sister came, so I had to go the next week. And I said, I'm here to pick this up, you pieces of shit. I shouldn't have even been here. You should have told my sister they weren't ready. What's the matter with you? Like, oh, we told them we'd bring it over. Like, well, we didn't trust you. I'm talking to this lady. And then she gets in. She's like, let me see. And she gets her walker and goes, I'm like, are you just using that walker to make me feel bad? And she goes, no, I really need it. I'm like, oh, all right. You know, because I really wanted to give them shit. And then they're like, all right, that'll be $50. And I'm like, that $50? Why are we charged anything? You're a month late. Oh, well, it's not us. It's the store that does, you know, I'm so pissed. But I'm trying to be nice because my mother shops there. And they're like, well, we'll make it 40. And I'm like, whatever, but this is really uncool. So I pull out my credit card and they're like, oh, we don't take that. I'm like, oh, now you're getting on my last fucking nerve. So I gave them $40 in cash, which of course they hate. And then I said, well, I want to say thank you, but I don't feel that it's warranted here. So I'll just leave you with have a nice day. I'm so angry. I really wanted to let them have it, but I can't. How do you fuck that up and then still charge? I mean, that should be on the house then. We made a mistake. This took us 3 more weeks than we thought we had to do. Rona. Then I go to my car in this parking lot, and this girl, Carrie, calls me that I've known, a friend of Katie's from Cocoa Beach that I've known for a long, long time. In fact, she's almost like 50 now. I met her when she was like 22, 23. Really pretty, cute girl from Cocoa Beach. And she's insane. And I'd been talking to her while she lives in North Dakota. She moved to North Dakota and kind of got her life together. She's been hard drinking and, you know, just always bad boyfriends. Like all her boyfriends died in bizarre boating accidents. You know, she's a mess because all the people from Cocoa Beach, except for my friend Katie, are incredibly insane and stupid. Which is why when I went down there, I figured I could be running that place within 6 months. Let alone my salary up here made me kind of a millionaire down there. So I don't know why I'm not moving down there right now. Anyway, she calls me out of the blue. And I pick up because my friend Katie had said, oh, I just heard from Carrie the other day. And, you know, she's in jail. And I'm like, well, that adds up. So I pick up the phone because I guess she's calling everybody. And she says she told me about the jail story and she moved to Colorado. And of course she's living with some douchebag again. And then she told me she was dying because she has a liver disease and she only has about 1.5 years left. So then I'm like, I can't hang up with her now, even though I got to get to my mother's place. Like, now what do I do? She's like, nah. I'm like, well, what about a liver transplant? Nah, I don't deserve it. There's other people that deserve it. I'm like, you know, how are you going to get off that phone call? I feel bad for her, of course. I mean, she's a sweet girl. She's never really hurt anybody. But, you know, whatever the story was of why she went to jail, either she smacked her boyfriend or the other way. I mean, it's the classic Florida where the hot girls end up in jail like that. The hot blonde girls always end up in jail. I don't know. You know, I was just talking to her. So then I called Katie. I'm like, so have you heard that Carrie's dying, you know, that she has a, she called me the next day, like, she didn't tell me that one. I'm like, well, that's the new one. I assuming it's real. Who knows? It was just a funny call to get or strange call to get after I just got in the fight with these people. I got my mother's dress in the car. I'm heading over to do this thing, and I'm like, this is a fun Thursday already. Yeah, the last two Thursdays have been bad in weird ways. So that's a strange phone call. So then I go to my mom's, and the usual girl who has booked the show, her name's Courtney, wasn't there. So this other girl, Samantha, who I like very much, and we're setting up the show. Even though I'm nervous that Courtney's not there, because I just get the feeling Samantha doesn't know what she's doing with this thing. She's good at everything else. And just to, you know, I have the podium, and I always get the coffee from there, and I always have coffee before my lecture. And I have it on. She's moving the thing. I'm like, no, don't move it yet. I'm not ready. And she moves the thing. My coffee spills all over my remote. And I'm trying to keep it together because you all know spilled anything is my pet peeve. It almost spills all over my computer, but I think it missed it. My brand new computer I just bought. But it definitely spilled on the clicker. And I'm like, fuck. And I was more mad that I was out of coffee. She goes, I can get you some more coffee. I'm like, nah, forget it. It's over. I think she felt really bad because I just had it up. I was like, please don't move anything yet. I'm not ready to move it yet. Just give me a second. But she was trying to be proactive. It's certainly not her fault. But, you know, that kind of pisses me off. And I tried to get, then the thing wasn't work. It wasn't set up right. You know, she's like, oh, we just need to meet 10 minutes before. It's just, you know, when the main person that knows how to work everything isn't there, it's so frustrating. And we're just trying to get it together. And I'm like, now I'm just angry, but I'll do the presentation. It worked fine. Everything was fine. And then I went up the parkway and I'm like, I'm going to try a new place to get the newspaper and whatever I need and coffee and stuff. I'm going to try one of those A-pluses that's on the parkway just before I get off to go to school. And I went to that place, and it wasn't bad. At least it was a quality store. The one thing they didn't have is cinnamon. I've been putting a sprinkle of cinnamon in my coffee because somebody told me, and I don't know who it was, that if you do it on Thursdays, you get money back. And quite frankly, it's been working. So every time I've put cinnamon in my coffee, the next week I've gotten some sort of money. So I suggest you all start doing that immediately. The class was really good. So the people that showed up, you know, we had to explain it to me about the four movies they watched, which were Back to School, Three Men and a Baby, Cocktail, and The Big Picture. And all of them who had to do it, who showed up to class, got up in front of the class and all gave their speeches of how the movie was and stuff. And it was a really great class. Like everybody who did it got an A. Because they were really great. And I think everybody had a lot of fun doing it. And it was like one of the best classes we ever had. So I was feeling pretty good that day. And it's amazing how just the emotions this week just went flip-flopped. And then my friend Evan and I go to this place, Tierney's, that has those really amazing burgers. But I thought they'd take 2.5 hours to come out, but nobody was there, thank God. So I had the burgers and those incredible onion rings. I might have a picture. I can't remember. I haven't been taking as many pictures as I'd like to. Because it's always the same food, you know? So it's like, what am I, you know, you've already seen it. But we went to the place. Now we had to go upstairs because Evan's cousin, that guy we saw at that Great Notch Inn, was playing upstairs to nobody. And I took a picture of that one because they were playing their horrible, really horrible covers of music I couldn't care less about. But I was up for another drink and a beer because we had such a nice class. I took a picture because I was looking outside the window to the Quick Check I couldn't wait to go to after this was all over. So I took a picture, not of the band. We zoom in, you'll see on the bonus show of the Quick Check I was so excited to go to so I can get all the stuff that I didn't get at the A-plus store, whatever, like some, I don't know what I needed, maybe some chocolate milk or something to cover the onion ring, something sweet. I just couldn't wait. I think I needed coffee. I was very, very sleepy because it was a long week. So I think I needed another cup of coffee, which is rare. I usually never get a coffee on the way home, but I needed one this time. So I just had eyes for that Quick Check. I just love walking around those stupid, stupid convenience stores. Like I said, The bodegas in Manhattan is so gross and disgusting that when you go through a nice, clean Wawa or Quick Check or even those stupid A plus ones, which are the Tiger Mart. You can't understand the delightfulness of it unless you've been to the crap that's in this city that's gross and dirty and just, you know, they usually have a cat walking around, which is the best part of it because, well, you know. And Evan said when he was there, because they have that the band upstairs, he's like, I think I want to do my birthday here and put a band together. And I'm like, I will sing. And he's like, all right. He better let me sing. I told him I could sing a car song, but I'd like to sing a Ramon song. I don't know. It would be fun to do anything, but I'm in. He wants to have his birthday there. That sounds like fun. Anyway, I'm in an okay mood, but it's cold, and I don't think I was dressed properly or something, and I think I was just done with the day. You know, I woke up early. I think the cleaning lady came, so I did clean up in advance, wake up early, go to my mom's, go to the thing. You know, it was just, it was an emotional roller coaster day. And I said, you know what? When I parked my car on the west side, I said, I'm going to take a taxi today. I am going to treat myself to a taxi to go home. And you know how rare that is for me. I usually walk no matter whether it's raining or cold or hot. I usually walk. And I'm like, today, I'm going to treat myself to a cab of which I, of course, hate taxis. But I'm like, fuck it. How simple is it going to be to catch a cab on 6th Avenue and 56th Street? So I hail down a cab with no issue whatsoever. I give him the address and I see him going past my street and I'm like, what the fuck is your problem? And he's like, oh no. And I'm like, you piece of shit, stop this car right now. I'm getting the fuck out and canceling this cab. I was so angry that the one time I want to take a cab, this guy couldn't get it right. He was going to take me around the park. And I'm like, you're a piece of shit. And I'm telling your supervisor, fuck you. And I slammed the door as like hard as I could, hoping it would come off the hinges. There's nothing he could do about it. I just walked the fuck out because he's a fucking moron. And then I was so pissed walking home. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. The one time these cabs like that, it was as mad as the CBS thing. I mean, I got it. And I'm saying to myself, is this what it's like to be old? Are you just getting mad at everything? But of course, I've been mad at this kind of stuff for years, so it can't be that. And this is a legitimate thing to be mad at, the CBS thing. You got to let go. But the cab, when you know I hate cabs. I wish they would all die out. They're awful. Their cabs suck. They smell. Like I say, you walk in, you're already charged $8-$9. And they're stupid. And I could have just called an Uber by my phone and it would have been there the exact same time. Why would anyone call a cab? And now I know. And I contacted the place and I'm like, they're like, well, we have not this app that I use. And like, well, we have nothing to do with it. You should call the taxi and limousine commission. I still might do it. I mean, I want this guy fired. I mean, Jesus Christ, we had to go like 3 blocks and the guy couldn't get it right. Oh my God, I was so angry about it. And then I kept thinking of class. There was an incident that happened in class. I was thinking just about the bad stuff. This one kid, he never heard of Martin Short before. We were talking about the big pig. He's like, I've never heard that name. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And then he goes, and then we asked him about Steve Martin. He goes, I've never heard of him either. And I'm like, what the? Why would you take a class like this? What? Because normally I never get mad at the kids. They haven't heard of anybody. But Martin Short and Steve Martin are still kind of relevant. And you're taking a film class. I understand if you might not know certain movies and you might not have seen The Godfather or Annie Hall, but if you're taking a film class like this, wouldn't you have heard of it? I've never heard of Steve Martin. I can even give the Martin Short a pass. All that was just getting to me, and I was just walking home in anger. I was so angry, that stupid cab driver. I took 2 Ubers the rest of the week, and I'm like, I'm just done with cabs. I'll never take another cab. Like, I gave them another chance. I'll do anything I can to fuck with the cab. Many times, I'll be on the street waiting for the light to change, and a cab will come by thinking I'm trying to hail it down. And I'll put my hand up just a tiny bit because I hate them. I hate them. They're just, why are they still around? Ubers have just taken, why would anybody even want to drive a cab anymore? How could you just not want to drive an Uber? It's mind-boggling that they're still in business. The taxi cabs can suck it. Remember, I even had that problem in Las Vegas. They took me to town. Ugh.
Hey, man, what is your problem?
I don't like people playing music in this garage.
Well, I don't like this authority trip that you're always laying on me, man. Hey, you just wasted Elvis Costello.
Hello? Yeah, Vic's here. Hold on a second. Hey, Latka, it's Karen for you.
I'm not here.
Oh, Latka, it's the girl you're crazy about, remember?
Hey, I am out, man. Read my lips.
No, he's not here. Yeah. Okay, sure, I'll tell him you call, fine. Latka, what's going on?
It's over between her and me. You see, Karen's the kind of chick who craves rejection and goes around creating it for herself. So what's a boy to do?
This is too much.
Latka, we gotta talk to you.
Hey, yeah. You know I always have time to talk to you, Elaine. You're one dynamite lady.
Latka, shut up.
Ooh, redheads. I'm glad you feel that you can be so honest with me like that.
Latka, come here and sit down, okay?
Sure. Hey, Latka. Latka, you're weird.
Hey, we're all coming from a different direction, and sometimes it doesn't get in sync. Sorry about that, but you had it coming.
So anyway, Saturday, Rhoda's birthday, went off without a hitch. I got there, you know, I had to wake up earlier than I do on a daily basis, going to work, whatever. I wore a suit, and I said, I'm going to wear this suit the entire week. I'm going to wear it to Passover for 2 nights. I'm going to wear it to class on Thursday. This is my outfit. I'm going to pull the Joe Pesci. My friend needs a shirt he can wear 4 days in a row. We went there. It was also people setting it up were very nice. They had a nice spread. I got some video. Billy sang Mac the Knife. He did a great job. He went into the audience with the wireless mic and did a good job. No one's paying attention. It's not his fault. These are horrible old people. Not even Aunt Judy was not turning her, because they can't turn around. Half of them were sleeping. You'll all see it. Rhoda gave a speech like that was 3 pages long. She's like, and I remember with the horse and buggy clomping down the street when I was a little, and I got on the mic, I'm like, what the, no, nobody in this room is that old. And then, of course, I remember that 106-year-old woman. Well, maybe her, I didn't say it, but she was there. My mother's talking about a horse. And then the Iceman would come, and like we're carrying the ice. And I'm like, Rhoda, I mean, yes, that happened maybe when she was 3, living in a weird neighborhood, but I don't think for people that are 90, that's normal. We're talking about 1930s? Was it really horse and buggy? Maybe. That seems incredibly insane. But then, of course, I use the example that, anybody can sound old if, you know, like, now years ago, we used to get up and change the channel on the television because we didn't have what's called a remote control they have now. So you would be sitting there enjoying the show, but you're ready to watch the next show. You'd get up and change the channel physically, you see. You know, you had about, 7 stations maybe. So anything sounds old if you say it that way. But that was really funny, and it's just funny that she even wanted to give a speech. Nobody told her to give one. And of course, she just singled out like one person in the room, and then Didn't talk about anybody else, so people were all upset. Anyway, then, of course, we finished the show, and we have to go to Beth's show, Finding Nemo, which was absolutely awful, where the kids are just holding fish next to their heads. I don't even know why they'd want to be in a show like that. It's a stupid show to do on stage, and it's just bad, and it was horrible, but it was really short, and we all had to go. I think me and Billy got a little high beforehand, which was good. But there was a guy who was like the musical director or something, and his name was John Dawson, so I kept calling him Jack Dawson from Titanic. So I kept going, ah, Dawson, you don't want to stay out here with the women, do you? I just kept doing it. The guy was getting so angry. I'm like, oh, Dawson, you could almost pass for a gentleman. And he came out to dinner with me. He was very nice, but I just kept giving him shit because his name was John Dawson, which is another name for Jack Dawson. I mean, if I'm going to hear Jack Dawson, I've seen Titanic 100 times, you're going to get shit for it. And he was dating this girl that I remember we went to Disney World with, who was like, you know, 14 or 15 at the time, and now she's like 25. And you're dating? That's always surprising. We went to this Stage House restaurant again. I can just never get the right food there. I wanted to get the meatball pizza or something. I ended up getting the meatball ravioli, but I got the lady's like, oh, it's good, but I got the 5 cheese sauce, and it was just fucking awful. I can't get that place right. I said, what kind of beers do you have? I just can't find, I don't know why it's so difficult for me. All they do is have IPAs nowadays, right? We all know I don't want IPAs anymore. That's all they got, IPAs and Guinness, right? And Yingling. Everybody's got Yingling. Yingling sucks. So I don't know what the fuck is happening in the country right now that I can't find a regular type of Sam Adams, just a regular amber fucking lager. But so then she goes, well, here's the waitress getting angry. I'm like, well, what do you have? She's like, why didn't you bring us the beer list? Are you getting angry that I'm asking what the thing is? Then she goes, here it is. And she slammed it on the table. And I'm like, okay, I'll have the Sierra Nevada. Yeah, we're out of that. I'm like, well, then you really shouldn't have slammed it on the table then, shouldn't you? Now, I didn't say that because we're getting the meal, but she could tell I'm getting edgy. She's getting angry. She got a lot of tables, but come on, that's not cool. You know how angry I get about this kind of shit. Of course, they're out of everything for me. I don't know what the fuck that's following me around. Everything I ask for, they're always out of. Now, if they're out of everything I ask for, which is either Sam Adams, Sierra Nevada, all the beers that I like, the Brooklyn, the Bad, doesn't that mean that more people want those type of beers? That I'm not wrong? If you're full of IPAs and never out of them, but you're out of the ones I ask for all the time, doesn't that mean everybody's drinking them? You fucking idiots. So, of course, as you know, I stayed over at my sister's house, which is just all right. And the next day I went to work and they put me in this outdoor area where it's freezing because my brother-in-law doesn't like when I'm in the house. So I'm sitting outside freezing. I got a blanket with me. They got a space heater, but it doesn't warm up until about noon. I'm out there at 8 a.m. Oh, and then I went to the... Oh, my God, I am... I guess this is old man shit. I don't know. I go to Dunkin' Donuts before work, right? They got a brand new Dunkin' Donuts, not the one that I usually used to like there that was nice and big. I want to look at the fucking donuts. I want to look at the selection. This is all because I live in the city and I just don't get the selection you get in Jersey. They made a drive-through Dunkin' Donuts, so they don't like when people come in. But I like going in because here I have a personal connection with the people that work here. Because they don't have drive-through shit in Manhattan. And think about that. It's most of the Indian people that usually aren't very polite at the Dunkin' Donuts. But I'm lucky enough that in my block, they're a little polite. So I went in because I want to see the selection of donuts. Man, they were so angry that I walked. I mean, they have it so you can walk in. They don't like it. They just want the drive-through. I'm like, well, I just wanted to see the donuts. Can I see what you got on the side over there? They're like, they're just so angry. And it really pissed me off. Obviously, the next day I just went through the goddamn drive-thru. I just want to look at the donuts and see the selection that they never have anywhere else. When you're in New Jersey, when you're anywhere else, I mean, isn't it fun if you're going to a Dunkin' Donuts to see this beautiful Sunday, Saturday morning selection of donuts? Isn't that Homer Simpson-like fun? Because they have very limited supply in Manhattan. It's just not a nice clean store. Now they made these drive-throughs and there's no personal experience, and You know how I am with the coffee shops here. I go across the street. I know these girls. We text sometimes. We hang out. The whole country is a mess. It's because this kind of shit. The drive-through Dunkin' Donuts is just as bad as kids that don't have any friends that are just on social media. And that maybe it's old shit, but I'm talking to young people that work at the shops, and they seem to like the personal interaction too. It's really bothered me. So I went to work. I took a nap. And then I went to Applebee's, where my nephew works. And I told my friend Lindsay, you remember from the bar I used to hang out, and now she's pregnant. She lives around where my sister lives. So her and her husband and the baby came to Applebee's, and Billy waited on us. And that was fun. But Billy's so stupid. He's cleaning up the dishes, and he almost stabbed my friend with the knife that fell off the plate. I'm like, Jesus Christ. And my sister's like, oh yeah, he's the worst waiter. I'm like, I know. We didn't get any discount. She's like, oh, he wouldn't know how to do that. He looked good in his outfit, though. He looked good in black. I mean, he's a good-looking kid. I mean, I'd never been to Applebee's, so I ordered so much. I ordered, like, so much appetizers and stuff, and then a main course, like an Oriental chicken salad. I don't know what the fuck I was doing. I ordered one of the specialty drinks. Then I had a margarita, and I wasn't even drunk. So they clearly just watered down that shit, which is fine with me. But it was nice to see the baby. The baby's so cute. Obviously, I got pictures. This kid is really adorable. His name's George. And he looks just like the kid from Love Actually. It's like, do you mean the total, what does he say? The total heartbreak of being in love. You know, the Liam Neeson's kid in the movie that runs to the airport to see that girl.
Truth is, actually, I'm in love.
Sorry?
I know I should be thinking about Mum all the time, and I am. But the truth is, I'm in love. And I was before she died. There's nothing I can do about it.
Aren't you a bit young to be in love?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I'm a little relieved.
Why?
Well, because I thought it would be something worse.
Worse than the total agony of being in love.
Anyway, he looks just like that kid. So he's an adorable, blonde-haired, I don't know, maybe he's like a year old. Actually, quite well-behaved. And it was a good time. And then I went home and I slept for 4 hours, or I went to Beth's house. I slept for 4 hours. I woke up in the middle of the night and I watched this movie because I thought I was teaching a rom-com class and I hadn't seen it. It was on their TV. Sandra Bullock, Ryan Reynolds, called The Proposal. I said, well, how bad can this be? You know, this looks like fun. Sandra Bullock's great. And I'm watching it, and I'm like, boy, so far, like, Sandra Bullock isn't even, it's not even working for me. She's not even sexy, and she's sexy. And this movie's just not working for me. There's something wrong with it. I can't put my finger on it. And I'm watching it, and I'm like, well, no, it's going to work. Like, I have faith in it. I have faith, because Sandra Bullock's just in good stuff. Like, she wouldn't let crap happened, and I'm watching it. They go to Alaska, and it's not a good movie. And then I looked it up online, and I saw it made $300 million, because I'm like, wait, did anybody see this? And it turns out everybody saw it, because I don't remember it. Maybe it's like 2006, and it's so bad because I'm okay with it being formulaic. I have no problem with that. Every rom-com is formulaic, and no, none of us have a problem with it. But I thought at one point she was going to just kind of lighten up, and she was going to take her hair down and be just in regular people clothing and stuff. She was still uptight the whole time and stuff. Because I like, you know, the library thing, taking off the glass, pulling down the hair, and then he was going to be like, and I'm good with that because I'm not expecting anything big. But that never happened. And of course, they did have a chase to the airport, but that they're like, oh, but we'll fool people because it's not going to happen here. And it was just really bad. I'm just trying to think if I'd watch it again, but I just can't believe it made $300 million. It's so bad. And I like shit, you know? But it's just, it was missing something. And I just, you know, I wasn't getting why they'd like each other at all. And I'm usually a major sucker for that. And the fact that this movie made $300 million just messed me up. Meanwhile, on Monday, you know, it was Passover. So again, I was at my sister's house. They put me out. It's even colder in this little, you know, area that's the, you know, it's just all windows. So it's freezing in there. It was like 50 degrees, exactly 50 degrees. But, you know, you're working and it's cold. It's cold in Beth's house anyway. They just won't put up any heat. And God, everything I'm saying today just sounds like, Dave, you're old. I'm working out there again. I'm freezing and I'm saying, you know, I usually like to take the nap at 1 o'clock because we have the Seder today. But she's like, you know, somebody has to go pick up Grammy. Now she's got three goddamn kids and none of them are going to go pick up Rhoda. And she's like, oh, I guess I'll get it because you have to take your nap. And I'm like, well, only because I'm working. So I said, well, I guess at lunch I could go down to get her. But so she didn't even understand what I was saying. So what I did was at 1 o'clock, I drove down to Grammy's, to Rhoda's, on my lunch break, and then worked the next 2 hours from Rhoda's apartment, or the next hour and a half it was. I got there at 1:30. But, you know, she lives about an hour from Beth. So I just made it in time back from lunch. I couldn't believe the timing. You know, one wrong move. And I still had to start my car up with the battery, too. And then I'm down there and I'm working because Beth just didn't understand. Like, wait, you had to work once you were at Rhoda's? And I'm like, yeah, that's what I was trying to tell you. I was in the middle of my... Like, none of your kids could go, the rotten fucking kids they are, because Dory doesn't drive. She drives. She's like, Dory's afraid of driving. Dory wasn't doing anything. And I was giving her a ride home after. She couldn't do me this one favor. She's really the worst. So I go in and pick up Rhoda. So I'm working, right? Now, my job is, you know, you've heard this before. There's not a lot to do. But once in a while, there's a lot to do. And definitely between 3 and 4, it seems like we get work on the weekdays. There's always work from 3 to 4. That's when everybody wakes up. And I'm dealing with the managing partner. He's got work, and that rarely ever happens, but it did happen that day. And my mother can't get her earrings on or something, and she calls in this lady to. And meanwhile, I usually work in another room, but I was just working on the counter because I really didn't think it would be there that long. And she brings in this other lady, and they're just talking, and they're like, David, look at what I'm like, I can't look right now. I'm on the phone with the managing partner. I'm like, you don't understand. I mean, I know I'm infiltrating your place, but you don't understand it. I'm trying to be polite because it's her house, so I really can't do anything. But this other lady's like talking to me while I'm trying to take down this information. It was really messed up, and I was just so angry at like Dory that she doesn't know how to drive. Ugh, that kid is the worst. Anyway, we finally go back home. We have a lovely Seder. I run a very nice Seder. And then I drive Dory home to Brooklyn, which is a pain in the ass for me. And I'm like, let me see if I can park on the street. And I was able to park on the street. So that was good. So on Tuesday, I went to the office and I was like, how am I going to... So I was going to Alon's house and his family for the second night of Passover. They were kind enough to invite me over. I'm like, how am I going to get from work, from the Staten Island Ferry to Alon's house, who lives on like FDR Drive? His address is FDR Drive, which is insane. Because it's cold and I'm only wearing the suit. I'm not wearing a jacket because it's supposed to be warmer, but it wasn't. And it's so windy down there. Do I take the bike? But then I got a bottle of wine with me. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to Uber. It's a good thing I did because it goes all the way up the FDR Drive. It turns back and he lives in this really strange building and it's like really weird. So I took an Uber, which as you know, I never do. And then when I left there, I said, you know what? I'm going to take an Uber home because I'm right. Because I also live off the FDR Drive. So we live pretty close to each other, but it's Manhattan and it's weird. But I took another Uber. So I took two Ubers that day because there was no way I was ever taking a cab again. And I got to tell you, the Ubers were very delightful. The cars were nice. They smelled good. I mean, who would take a cab ever again? So the Uber was quite a pleasant experience. In fact, the second guy was using an electric car. So it was good. Meanwhile, Alon's thing was, his parents are very nice. You know, I like them. His brother and sister was there. His brother's a little weird. Guy was eating during the Seder. Like, you got to wait to eat.
you know, because you're doing like a thing, like a service. And his brother's just sitting there eating the matzo. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm talking to his wife. She's like, why is he eating? She's like, yeah, he just does whatever he wants. I'm like, that's weird in such a strict house. And his dad was like running the Seder, but like he wasn't including anybody. And it was weird. but it was okay. I mean, it was still fun. They're all nice people and the food was good and everything. It was just a very strange city, but he was talking mostly to his granddaughter, who's two. And she was very smart. And I was like, why is he talking to her? She's not going to understand anything. Meanwhile, she understood everything. And then I understood why he was just talking to her. But usually the Seder, you're supposed to include everybody at the table. But Alon did tell me they do it weird. So he did prep me for that. I just never been in a situation like that. But I will tell you, his parents got a nice place. And it was fun. And it was a beautiful day again. And they live where they have a beautiful view of the bridges and everything. So while I was at the table in their kitchen, I'm just looking out at the view, and it was so much more pleasant than my sister's house where you're stuck, and you're just looking at a backyard, and it's in Jersey. I mean, it's okay, but it was really great. Like, you really feel like you're not in Manhattan anymore. Those are the best kind of things where you feel like you're not in Manhattan, you're somewhere else, but it's a five-minute ride home. That's the best. So that was kind of great. So then I immediately came home and fell asleep. I was exhausted. And I woke up around 3 in the morning, and I saw there was a space on my block. Like, I used my binoculars. Am I crazy or is that a space? Like, I looked out the window for, like, because I wanted to park in a Friday space, so because I knew a Passover, they had the alternate side of the street was, suspended. But if I get in my car on the Friday, then I could just take it on Thursday. Which turned out to be a huge mistake since I didn't know there was going to be all this traffic and all that stuff, even though I should have known, but whatever. I just didn't want to go back from Brooklyn and Doria and all that kind of crap. So I actually leave the house at 3 in the morning, use the battery to start the car, and move to the other side of the street at 3 in the morning so I can at least just leave on Thursday so I don't have to move the car on Wednesday. Oh, I know what it was, yeah. So if I had left Thursday before 10, I could have left the car, but I knew I was leaving around 2. So for 4 extra hours, if I could move to the Friday side, which I did, but it was so, I used to do that all the time, like make up in the middle of the night if I saw a spot. It's difficult in the summer because the trees are blocking it, but this is like, I was able to still spot when it's not, the trees aren't fully in bloom yet. You know, it's much easier in the winter when there's no leaves and I can really see. But yeah, it was really funny. And then the doorman's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm moving my car now. But it was worth it, I guess. And then of course I had to start again, and it was like an hour. I mean, what a difference. That's why I was like, if my garage goes up again for another rent increase or something, and I would look around here instead if I'm paying those kind of prices. I don't know. I kind of like being already on the West Side, even though it's a pain in the ass to walk to and it's weird. But it's so hard getting out of the city, because I remember when I was parking over here and all this stuff, it takes 45 extra minutes to get out, besides the 20 to a half hour. Ugh. So that's the story. That's the whole story with this, the past 2 weeks. What I'm trying to say is you missed nothing. We took a week off and no one cares. I don't know. I do. You have made me feel better today. I feel better than when I first started. So that's something. I guess going over the week a little bit helped me get through this time that I'm having, which I'm sure everything will be fine sooner or later. So I don't know. We'll see. I don't have to work till, like, at least I don't have to wake up early this week. I'm working strange hours this week, but then my friend Katie's coming in Wednesday night, which is always fun. And then I got my mom's thing, and then the last day of class. I think we're going to watch Working Girl instead of The King of Kong. I thought maybe, it seemed like nobody was into it, so we'll give that a try, and that's the end of class till, well, I guess, January, if they even let me do that. I don't know. There's got to be more jobs like this I can do. I put all this work into it. I got to use it somewhere. I'll figure it out, I guess. I usually do. But that's the end of today's show. We will be on tonight, April 30th, on the YouTube show, remote again. Then the next 3 weeks, live in studio. with hopefully some interesting guests. Other than that, I hope everybody has such a nice week. And hopefully the weather is going to get real nice everywhere. And I'll see you next week on Just Get Out of the City. Good night, everybody.